What are we talking about today? Food or politics? So my answer is both. Food and politics. Because in a democracy, everything is political. In any case, in any country, everything is political. But in our country, lately, foods become very highly politicized. And the analysis we have with some data, all collected in a story by my young colleague, Nikhil Rampal, who's also from my university, Punjab University, economics department, from the same department that Dr. Manmohan Singh came from. We shall not hold that against Dr. Manmohan Singh. Nikhil, I'm joking. So he's got this data, and I'm using this data to give you some political analysis. Last few weeks, we've seen a lot of trouble over food in India. One, it has been going on over beef eating. That is one issue. Now, in some states, beef is allowed. Many of the states where beef is allowed are also being run by the BJP or its partners. Goa, for example. Or say states in the Northeast. But let's not go there, because today we are talking about something else. Today we are talking about vegetarianism. So it's not about beef, it's not about what meat you eat, but whether you eat meat or not. Because the trouble lately during the Navratras we just concluded has been over selling meat, buying meat, serving meat at restaurants, eating meat. And this has become some kind of a big Hindu cause. Now, when you see that, and when you go beyond your immediate headlines and immediate noise on your TV channels, you might be intrigued to figure how come most of this trouble is in North India. In North India, and maybe to some extent in Central India, which is Madhya Pradesh. But you don't see this Navratri trouble anywhere in the South, not even in the East. So how come this is so confined to North? It's essentially a North Indian Hindi heartland issue. Now, again, we have seen something else happen. We have seen, for example, in Karnataka, many BJP-run states withdrew eggs from their midday meal menu. Karnataka, which used to have it, there was popular demand to restore it. So they restored it experimentally in about 6 to 8 districts, and looks like they've got a good feedback. Sorry for that pun. And they are now considering restoring eggs in the midday meals all across the state. Now, it is not just that eggs are nutritious. It is also that a large number of people in their states, a very vast majority of people in their state, do eat eggs. They have no problem. And the people or the communities or the castes who might have problems, say, with eggs or with meats, are very, very, very small. Now, it's also so happens that these communities and these castes also have the larger proportion of our ruling elites or power elites. Also, they dominate public discourse a lot more than the others. And that's how in a state like Karnataka, which is predominantly not vegetarian, it is non-vegetarian, people are meat eaters. There also, this was enforced, again because of politics, in this case, the BJP's politics. Say in Madhya Pradesh also, BJP government withdrew eggs from midday meals. They did not even give an option to children or to their parents, because eating eggs was considered wrong and immoral. Now what happens is, this has implications for nutrition, and I will come to that. But before that, let me first answer the political question of why these incidents and these issues take place more in North India, North and Central India, than in the rest of India. And let me interpret that or explain that in terms of food habits. Now, if you look at vegetarianism, North India is a lot more vegetarian than any other part of India. So North or North Central India, we are throwing in Central India also there, which is essentially Madhya Pradesh. 51% of the women are vegetarian. They've never eaten meat. 33% of men are vegetarian. They've never eaten meat. Now, this is according to National Family Health Survey. So this is not some chota mota survey that you can toss saying it means nothing. If you go to Western India, 31% of the women are vegetarian. 23% of the men are vegetarian. Then you move south, east and northeast, and picture changes even more dramatically. North to the west is a big difference, although the picture in the west is distorted or is influenced by Gujarat, which has a large number of vegetarians. I will come to some of that granular data also. But west also is much lower than the north central zones. Then you come to the south. In the south, only 8% women say that they are vegetarian, they are not meat eaters. Only 5% men say in all of the south that they are vegetarian. So you see that egg problem and the egg challenge in Karnataka. Then you come to East India. In East India, among women, only 7% say that they are non-meat eating, they are vegetarian. Only 4% men say that. That's why in the East, Odisha, West Bengal, most parts of Bihar, you do not see these problems, you do not see these Navratri issues, you do not see attacks on meat sellers, etc., etc. And then you come to the Northeast, the most diverse part of our country, only 2% women say they are vegetarian, only 1% men say they are vegetarian. So if you generally round it off, you will find in North India, almost 50% of people, or little over 50% of people, north and the center, they are vegetarian. Haryana, by the way, is the most vegetarian state. I will come to that in some detail in a bit. Whereas, if you go to the south, then if you round it off, you could say that about 95% people are meat eaters, meat or fish or egg eaters. They are not vegetarian. In the east, it will be about 96%. In the northeast, it will be about 99%. So we are not a country of vegetarians. So first of all, see this meat eating or vegetarian map of India. This tells you that India, about 80% of India's population is meat eating. In fact, if you throw in eggs there, people only eat eggs, but not other meats, that number will go even higher. So this idea that all of India should defer to vegetarians and not eat meat for certain periods of time, or in any case, you can always promote. You can promote a religion in India. You can promote an ideology in India. You can promote food habits in India. You can promote veganism in India, although I think it's nutty. But you know, you can promote veganism in India. You can promote anything. It's a free country. But you cannot say, for you to say that you must not have meat because I don't like it and I think it is not good for you, that's not going to work. And to think that you can enforce it on people because you are in a majority, that's incorrect. Because Hindus may be in a majority, but a very vast majority of Hindus are meat eaters. A very small minority of Hindus happens to be pure vegetarian. So I've given you this data for the regions of India. Now you come to egg consumption. When you look at eggs, numbers vary because many people who don't eat meat eat eggs. As I read and interpret this data to you, I am deliberately giving you figures for men and women separately. Because underlying that is a story. When you lift that layer, the story is that a lot more women are vegetarian in these states, all over India, than men, but particularly in these states. And that probably also accounts for many of these states also faring very poorly on National Family Health Survey data on child stunting, child wasting, anemia, micronutrient loss. Why does India do so poorly on global hunger survey? We fall really backwards, below 100 mostly, on the global hunger index. As I've explained to you in two earlier Cut the Clutters, global hunger survey is nothing but global malnutrition survey. And malnutrition in this case is more and more about micronutrients, that is protein, iron, vitamins, other minerals, things like that. And that is much more prevalent if you go back and check out those two earlier CTCs on the Global Hunger Survey and India's poor ranking there. You will see that evidence right up there. Now, if you look at eggs, in the north and central regions, 43% women don't eat eggs, 27% men don't eat eggs. Once again, the difference between men and women also has to be seen. Difference between regions should be seen. Difference between men and women also has to be seen. In the western zone, 31% women, again, western zone is influenced greatly. These numbers are influenced by Gujarat being largely vegetarian and being more in the mold of Rajasthan, which is very vegetarian, than say Maharashtra, which is not so vegetarian. 24% men don't have eggs. And then as you go to east and the south, as you would expect, the situation changes dramatically. Please see the chart on the screen. Let me not repeat the numbers for you. Look at the troubles we've had lately. Just in the last couple of weeks, we had trouble in JNU, that big fight, because some people from ABVP objected to chicken seller delivering the chicken meat in the hostel mess, saying this is Navratri, nobody should eat meat. Once again, your own dietary choices being forced on others, unmindful of the fact that a vast majority of people in India are meat eating. For them, it's normal to eat meat all the time or most of the time, except across Hindi heartland. And that's why in Delhi, you also had this mayor of South Delhi Municipal Corporation, in fact, I live in South Delhi, ordering that meat shops will be shut in Delhi, South Delhi, during Navratri. Now he had no power to do so. And I have it on authority from the administrators of South Delhi Municipal Corporation that what he said was not binding, and they issued no order or notification following what he said. But what happens with these cases is that it's a dog whistle. So word spreads. So that means anybody feels at a license, any little mob to get together and throw stones at a meat seller's shop, or maybe set it on fire, or maybe to kill the butcher. So this gives people that license to do unlawful things, because you then politicize food. But can you politicize food in your favor? Can you politicize meat eating in your favor when you are in such a vast minority? That is the point, political point we are making now. Now, I told you Haryana is the most vegetarian state, and then you will ask me a question and I will answer that. Haryana, 80% women are vegetarian, 56% men are vegetarian. If you round it off, the state will become about 65 to 70% vegetarian. And you might ask me, Are Shekhar Gupta, you say meats are more nutritious, they have more protein, but how come Haryana, which is the most vegetarian state in India, also is the biggest star, the most successful state in sports in India, particularly Olympic sports? And they are also sports that need a lot of physical strength, that is contact sports, which is boxing, wrestling, etc., etc. So aren't you contradicting yourself? Now that is where we need to see finer data. Because look at Haryana and Punjab. Haryana and Punjab are largely vegetarian, but I'm just jumping this. Look at the milk consumption in Haryana and Punjab. Both states are largely vegetarian, but milk, 72% of the women in Haryana consume milk regularly, 64% of the women in Punjab, 98% of the women in Haryana consume pulses, which are also a rich source of proteins, and 91% in Punjab. So 98% in Haryana, 91% in Punjab. But it's a large amount of milk consumption, milk, dahi, curd, thayer, or paneer, cottage cheese, that is consumed in large amounts in these states, because these are also richer states with a rich tradition of dairying. That's why they are still able to make up for the loss of nutrients from protein. But I can tell you something. I can take you for a drive around Haryana, rural Haryana. And I wrote a Writings on the Wall article on this some time back, maybe 5 or 6 years back. In every village of some size, and definitely in every town, there are multiple shops selling bulking proteins and foods for people who want to become wrestlers or boxers. So whey protein is a very high selling thing in Punjab and Haryana. And many of these wrestlers and boxers actually take to meat eating as they go ahead in life. Now, just on vegetarianism, I told you Haryana is the most vegetarian state, about 70% vegetarian. Rajasthan is the next, and these two are contiguous states. Rajasthan, 75% women and 63% men are vegetarian. That's compared to 80% women in Haryana and 56% men in Haryana. So more men are vegetarian in Rajasthan than even in Haryana. But overall average, I'd say Haryana is ahead of Rajasthan in terms of overall vegetarian percentage. Punjab, that's the third. 70% women and 45% men. Now, what happened to your stereotype of leg and peg and cooker etc. Right? If you watch movies, or if you watch popular music, or if you see this Bhangra pop stuff, it looks like every Punjabi is eating chicken and particularly leg pieces all the time. That's not true. Punjab is a largely vegetarian state. Sikhs also are a largely vegetarian community. It is just that Bollywood, popular culture, etc. have painted this stereotype on them that this has stuck to the state, and a lot of people who go to Punjab are surprised to find how vegetarian it is. How many Vaishno dhabas are there in the state of Punjab? A lot more than chicken dhabas. Of course, you can find famous chicken dhabas. One, just as you are stepping into Punjab from Haryana. In fact, it says with a big painted picture of a rooster, meet me anywhere but eat me here. So these things have built a highway popular culture about Punjab being a leg-eating, peg-drinking state. But it isn't like that. So if the most vegetarian state is Haryana, second most vegetarian is Rajasthan, third most vegetarian is Punjab, the fourth most vegetarian is Gujarat. And that is the reason I said that sort of distorts the overall numbers of the West zone. So in Gujarat, 61% women and 50% men are vegetarian. That is almost to the level of northern states, not like the western states. And it's a bit odd considering that Gujarat has such a long coastline, in fact, the longest for any state in India. And yet they have very high level of vegetarianism. Again, if you go back to those earlier CTCs on NFHS 5, that is produced by Niti Aayog, and also on the global hunger surveys, they will tell you how this reflects in Gujarat's micronutrition levels, anemia, stunting, wasting, and things like that. Now, what is it that the science tells us about vegetarianism and about meat eating? So, first of all, I'm not recommending anything to anybody. I'm not saying eat meat or don't eat meat. As far as I'm concerned, I used to be a traveling reporter. In my traveling reporter's life, I confess to you, I might have eaten every meat that is forbidden by some religion somewhere, because you're so grateful to get food to eat when you are covering particularly war zones or disturbed areas or insurgency hit areas, as I did. You don't ask questions, and particularly if you go to a tribal community or if you go to a community that is very different from yours, you don't judge them for their food habits. You become a part of them. That's why I speak without any sense of guilt at all. The problem arises when we start forcing our food choices on others, because we might be offended by what they are eating. And that when we also insist that don't eat meat because this is not beneficial for you, you can get everything you want from vegetarian food. Now, technically you can. Technically, I might even tell you, if you look at data, you will say, oh, what are you talking about? 100 grams of fish has the best fish, 100 grams, has 21 grams of protein, that is marine fish, sea fish, but dal has per 100 grams, 20 grams of protein. So what you're complaining about? But you know what is 100 grams of dry dal? 100 grams of dry dal will fill a pressure cooker, right? Which means that the katori that you get will not have more than 4 or 5 grams of protein. So a katori of dal will have some protein, but not more than 4 and 5 grams of protein. And a lot of our communities and also will have a bit thin dal. So how thick your dal is, 100 grams of dal is a lot of dal. Whereas one leg of chicken, since we are talking about leg and peg, forget the peg, one leg of chicken will give you about 20 grams of protein. That is the difference. So two chunks of fish will give you as much protein as 3 or 4 katoris of dal. So I'm not saying not have dal. If you're vegetarian, have dal, have thicker dal, have a lot more dal, thicker legumes, rajma, lobia, stuff like that. But also remember that meats have their own virtues too. They bring a lot of protein with much less fat. Now, if you look at milk, milk and milk products are the main sources of protein besides dals for vegetarians. Now, milk, a 200 milliliter glass of milk, a normal glass of milk, if it comes from a cow, it has 6.5 grams of proteins. Not bad, pretty good, but 6.5 grams. And 9 grams of fat. I'm looking at full fat milk, pura malai wala milk. Similarly, if it comes from a buffalo, bhains, it is 7.36 grams of proteins and 13 grams of fats. So buffalo milk is also very nutritious. Again, if you take out the protein from it, that is when you make paneer. Now, I know paneer is a very polarizing thing. A lot of people don't like paneer. I quite like paneer, particularly if it's cooked the way I like it. So paneer, in terms of weight, has about as much protein as chicken or a normal meat, but it has a lot more fat than those. But again, if you eat so much paneer, you are getting your share of protein, not just protein, but also calcium. My data from National Institute of Nutrition, which is run by ICMR, Indian Council of Medical Research, that tells us that if you are a vegetarian, then to get your adequate quota of protein in a day, you should have about 90 grams of dals, 90 grams of pulses. That's a lot of kilocalories of dal. So if you're vegetarian, my suggestion would be stay vegetarian. You don't have to change, but have a lot of dal and also have a lot of milk, paneer and milk products. Whereas if you added eggs to it, life will become a little easier in terms of nutrition. And if you're a meat eater, you have your choices. All I'm saying is that go with what preferences you have with food. So see which food brings you what. I'm not a nutrition expert. All I say is eat nutritive food. Check out Google. Check with your nutritionist. Check with your doctor. Use your common sense. Check with your grandparents or parents. They might know better. But don't force your own choices, your own food choices over the others. And once again, to think that you can force others to be vegetarian because Indians or Hindus are largely vegetarian is a great fallacy. And anytime you are confused by that fallacy, please look out, look at these figures and also read Nikhil's story, a link of which I'm sharing with you. And the next time you wonder how come these food related problems, this meat versus vegetarianism kind of problems emerge mostly in north of India and the Hindi heartland, occasionally in Gujarat, you know where this is coming from. It is coming from this data. So this is why I called it a political analysis of food preferences.